Thank you, Madam Chair, and good morning to everyone. Distinguished delegates, I'm really pleased and honored to welcome you to this 13th meeting of the Conference of the Parties to the UNICE Industrial Accidents Convention, which is co-organized, as it was mentioned, with the French Ministry of Ecological Transition, Energy, Climate, and Risk Prevention. And I also would like to use this opportunity to express appreciation for our long-standing partnership. Our meeting is actually taking place at a pivotal moment, I would say, for the sustainable development, for the global sustainable development. The Pact for the Future that we have adopted, we, meaning by the member states, at the Summit of the Future in September earlier, calls for accelerated action to achieve sustainable development goals. It also emphasizes the urgency to strengthen action to address climate change, reduce disaster risks, build resilience, and promote innovation. And the convention is central to these efforts as by addressing technological risks and their interlinkages with natural and climate-induced hazards and risks, promoting cross-border cooperation and innovation. But I would say more than that, it's a pivotal moment also for the overall trust in multilateralism. And I would say that instruments like the conventions and the discussions that you have here today and throughout the years is what makes multilateralism prove its efficiency and shows that it matters and it's very much needed. So your responsibility goes beyond just the convention and transboundary effects of industrial accidents. It's much more. It's what your work proves why the system needs this kind of efforts from all of us. But as we approach quite fast the 2030, the convention's long-term strategy is a key midpoint. And I would like to highlight four main areas of impact and priorities for the future in order to ensure full implementation of this important instrument. You will have, of course, more in-depth discussions on each of these aspects. So first, the convention is addressing safety risks linked to the global energy transition. And it is essential for decarbonization. The shift to clean energy increases reliance on critical minerals and hazardous substances like ammonia and hydrogen, creating new accident risks for people, environment, and economies. This was also a central topic for COP29, which probably many of you, but myself including, attended only a few weeks ago, where countries really explored initiatives like the Hydrogen Declaration, Green Energy Zone, and Global Energy Storage and Grids. So this is why it's really key to have this kind of discussions because of this massive push towards the energy transition. And earlier this year, the UN released the Principles to Guide Critical Energy Transition Minerals Towards Equity and Justice, which was developed with UNICE input. And in these principles, you would see that it emphasizes the risk assessment, regulation, and decarbonization. So really, the Industrial Accidents Convention as a legally binding instrument is vital for managing these risks across critical minerals and emerging technologies like battery storage and carbon capture. Second, the convention is key for climate adaptation and addressing high-tech risks, industrial accidents caused by natural hazards like floods and wildfires, which are worsening due to climate change. And these events highlight the need for resilience and investment in accident prevention and disaster preparedness, as it was underscored by the Secretary General's Early Warning for All initiative. And already, as Madam Chair has mentioned, during this meeting, we are proudly launching the joint OECD-UNICE-GRC guidance on managing risk from natural hazards to hazardous installations. Third, as industrial risks grow more complex, comprehensive risk assessments are more essential than ever. This ensures safety measures evolve with emerging threats, informing governments, inspectors, workers, and the public as well. And I would emphasize the public. During this COP, we are also launching the publication on the risk assessment for industrial accident prevention to provide guidance for mitigating these risks. And one last point is that indeed this COP also marks, and it's a major milestone, the 20th anniversary of the Assistance and Cooperation Program, which has really helped to improve industrial safety across Eastern and Southeastern Europe, Central Asia, and the Caucasus. The program has strengthened national governance, led to better transboundary cooperation, and enhanced the safety of hotspots. It has also paved the way for new parties, like Ukraine, to join the convention. But I would also like to commend the efforts and the recent progress made by Georgia, Tajikistan, and Uzbekistan, and encourage them to promptly finalize their accession. Dear colleagues, as a concluding point from my side, this is a legally binding instrument, but all of our cooperation relies on one thing, on solidarity and good cooperation. So what I'm calling for is to continue this solidarity, to have a continued solidarity among all of us. And of course, we need to work together in advancing industrial safety and supporting countries with economies transition. So that is for also extending and continuing programs and financial support under the Assistance and Comprehensive Program and beyond are essential. Together with the necessary resources, we can implement our ambitious, and it's really ambitious, work plan for 25-26, and really drive forward the convention's long-term strategy over the next 6 years. So we need to work together to create the safer, more climate resilient and carbon neutral, I would say, future. So thank you so much, and I wish all of us very efficient and successful discussions.